Welcome to GRDC's Northern Pulse Check podcast series. In this episode, Kate Coffey from Riverine Plains chats to farmers in the Northern Pulse Check group about the issues of sowing high rates of large-sized beans through the air seeder.
So this meeting's now being recorded, the Pulse Check meeting. And I might hand over to you, Roy and Sandy. If you just wanted to have a chat about the problems you've had with sowing the higher rates of beans and what sort of things you've done to try and sort that out.
Yeah, fine, Kate. Can you hear me all right, Pete?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. So probably, last 5 or 6 years we've been mucking around with the simplicity bin trying to work out why we seem to get bunching in the row. We probably can get enough plants per square metre, but the evenness of the row was something that sort of Sandy and I discussed, and we started to think it was in the down tubes, where the down tubes were fairly flat, maybe out to the wings, that we were getting some hesitation, and then they'd run down the tube. And then we sort of worked our way back to the bin. We sow out of 2 bins and we use a bean kit in each bin. And when you watch the beans, when they're flowing out of a truck, they are harder to flow, the newer type beans. And I just tend to think that they're hesitating in the bin before they go over the distributor roller. I've talked to Doug Campbell about this up at Simplicity. Doug was really helpful the other day. And we're probably going to try and get some beans up to him, and he'll run it on a 10-bench test rig and see how it performs there. But yeah, we were interested in other people's experience, and Simplicity's been an excellent bin for sowing everything, but we are finding that we're not getting as even down the row distribution as probably we might. Anything further on that, Sandy?
Well, and it's been a gradual. We sort of were sowing them just conventionally to start with, then we put one bean kit in, one bin, didn't really show that much of an improvement. Then we went to 2 bins with the bean kits. And then we're back to 10-inch row spacings, and I think it's progressed a little bit, but there's still the competition's not great anyway, so you don't really want big areas that are bare. We seem to be still getting that, and as Roy said, we're still getting plenty of plants. It's just distribution. So
one of the things I talked to Doug about, every time I go and take, and those are familiar with the bean kit, there's you undo a control strip above the distributor, and you put another strip in that has fingers in it which separate the distributors. Each time I take those out, those fingers are bent back up. And the only way that can happen if the beans are actually repeating and going around the roller or between the rollers and pushing back out for those tangs to bend up. So if they are repeating, they may not be flowing as evenly across the roller as what they should. So that's been our experience, Kate, with that so far. And we'll keep mucking around with it. Just it'll be interesting to see if Doug can run on a bench test and see what happens up there.
Anyone else, Darcy, have you had any issues with sowing the higher rate?
Same as Sandy and Roy, we've got exactly the same issues. So, yeah, and we haven't found a way around it. We used to do the 2 boxes, and we're sort of at 125 kilos to the hectare, and yeah, this year we went through just the 1 box because we only had the bean roller on one of our bins, and we thought that might have been a bit of an issue. So we just slowed down, didn't have to go as slow as we thought we would. We went, I think it was about 6K now, and just put them all through the 1 box, but still getting, too much variation. Same as Roy and Sandy, plenty of plants, just not even enough down the rows.
Vince, have you had any issues with sowing the beans? You might have to unmute yourself, Vince.
Yeah, hi, Kate. Yeah, with our Gayson bin, I've not had any issues. Been sowing beans for many years now. Had no problems.
Yeah, so what sort of rates have you been sowing, Vince?
100 kilos. I have played around with granular inoculant, and I've had to slow down for that.
Yeah.
But as far as sowing the beans themselves, they sow pretty well.
Yeah. Anyone else, Damien? You've sown a fair few beans over there at Kerrang. Do you have any issues or know any ways around these problems?
My first comment would be that most people avoid sowing heavy rates. So we're usually chasing about 25 plants per square metre. So some of the bean size, you're getting up to 200, 220 kilos per hectare. So we really struggle to get people to sow at that level. We've had trials If we're probably under 5 tonne, we're probably getting away with 15 plants per square metre. So that's what, you know, around about that 130, 150 kilos. But if you're trying to push things along on irrigation, yeah, you struggle to get that population with a normal seeder. So yeah, it's one of those things where I think people sometimes are prepared to accept that they're not going to go for the push really hard and go with whatever they can, max it out on the machine and take it from there. Well, quick comment about precision seeding. Yeah, we stupidly hand-owed several plots by hand, trying to get that perfect spacing. Looked fantastic. Emergence was fantastic. Yield made no difference. So it was a good experiment. Yeah, my knees will never forgive me.
So was there any difference in weed control? Because I think that's what Roy and Sandy are saying, that you're getting those big gaps.
I suppose because if you're talking high rates being 100 kilos, we're probably not getting those big gaps. We've got some trials this year that we're down to, you know, less than 10 plants per square metre, and that's where you see the big gaps. So, yes, prickly lettuce is having a ball with those large gaps. So, yeah, we're just in a slightly different ballpark, I think, with when what we call high rates versus your high rates.
So what plant rate are you targeting, Roy, with your seeding rate?
I think Damien summed it up really well. I think Sandy and I would probably think, you know, 15 or 20, if they were even, is fine. But when you get, say, 5 beans in sort of 30 or 40 centimetres a row and then there's a gap of half a metre, with all the investment you have in machine and everything else and your weed competition, if there's a way of making it better, we really probably don't need many more plants, but we'd certainly think we'd probably, as far as potential yield, moisture utilisation and weed control, we'd like to even up that the spatial arrangement. That'd be right.
Yeah. And we're up to nearly 140 kilos.
Yes.
This year. Mm. And given there was probably a few things going on with the rain at the end of April with herbicide damage and depth of seed, but I still at 20 or 30 kilos higher than they have in the past, given that we hadn't done a germination test, which we probably should have, I still think it can be better.
As far as spacing goes, yeah. You don't have a lot of margin for error. I think, you know, those lower plant population we talked about is fine. If you don't have an environmental event straight after sowing, you might get a bit of herbicide down the row and your plant population might be knocked a little bit or something else could go wrong. They can sit there for a while. So unlike cereals, they don't compensate very well. You only get one go at seeding with it. And I think mechanically there's something we can improve on our machine to help that. We sort of work our way back from the seed tube, but the next thing will be the distributor role, I think, or how it's coming out of the seed. Well, I think when you look at the flutes on the roller, they're very fine compared with the size of the product that you're actually trying to handle.
So did anyone else have any comments or questions? I have spoken to a few farmers are looking at getting into beans and this has been a bit of a barrier for them. They've tried sowing the beans and if they haven't got the right machinery, they've got a bit of an older seeder, they're having trouble getting those large beans to the correct plant rates. And I know a few farmers have sort of gone away from beans because of that. So it is an ongoing issue. So, Roy, if we find out some information from your trial, I think that'd be really interesting to share with the group.
I'm just saying a couple of years ago I had my fava bean seed cleaned at Hart Brothers across their gravity table and they were able to remove all bits of pie bean trash and often it was bits of stick or a piece of trash that might block the seeding row. My brother used a contractor that year and normally they have trouble and that year he had no trouble at all.
So is that something you do, Roy, your seed?
Just make sure not to mute it. Yeah, we do. We get our guy cleans the cereals to clean the pulses. He does a pretty good job and we're really happy how they come out and what we actually put in the bin to seed. It's just getting them into the ground evenly is probably that's where our issue is with them.
Yeah.
The rest of it's fine. Lentils and chickpeas is no problem at all. The setup in the machine is fine. It's just these bigger seeds. And I think, you know, as Damien said, we probably look at things a bit more closely than what we used to. It's just where you look at the next 5% and say, well, how can we improve this crop? And you look at spatial management, I guess, is the next thing to try and get that, to give it its best chance it possibly can. So more than happy we'll share that data if I can get some beans up to Doug and we'll share that data when we get it back.
Roy, what fava bean variety are you growing mainly? That was the first question and then another comment I had.
Yeah, we started off with Fiestas, didn't we, Sandy?
Samiras, yeah.
And now we're on Samiras.
Okay, cool. So in one of my other roles, I do a couple of days a week with DPI and, you know, always looking at new things that we can study, investigate, et cetera. And one of the ones that has come up is should we be doing some work into precision planting of winter crops? So from this conversation, it seems like there might be a bit of a need or a want for that to happen. But Roy, you were saying probably not that important in cereals. Just wondering what the rest of the group thinks. I know that there's some trial work going on in canola where Cole McMaster also did the whole thing that Damien did and dug out, planted every seed and dug out. Well, obviously didn't plant every canola seed, but thinned it all so it was a totally uniform plant stand. So there's a bit of work there as well. But yeah, just wondering if there's an appetite for some research to happen in that space.
I'm sure Damien would be available to go up to the central New South Wales and hand plant a few hundred hectares for us. Yeah,
also Bruce, right.
Bruce Watson on the Northern Panel's done some work with precision planting canola, which is really interesting. I guess my comment around cereal was that being a grass, it will, to a degree, self-compensate. If there's enough time, it'll just till it and compensate. But, yeah, we don't sort of have that same opportunity with some alternatives. But I think a project around that would be really excellent.
Okay, cool. So what I can do.
Roy, we've just had Doug come on. I'll just ask him to unmute. And it's Doug Campbell, is it, that's from Simplicity?
That's correct, yes. That's
right. Doug, you probably missed what we've been chatting about, but just what you've spoken to Roy about. Did you want to make any comment about the S-Eater and what you chatted to Roy about?
Basically, everyone hear me okay? That's coming through?
Yeah, we just can't see you.
That's all right. You really don't want to see that, Egon. So basically, the main things that we're dealing with regularly with regard to people sowing baby beans and mainly the bigger beans through our gear that they have issues with is just the problem of the beans crushing as they go under the roller. The gap between the bottom of the roller and the bottom of the bin is large, but it's still open to damaging the seed. And traditionally, the way we've dealt with that to date has been reversing the direction of the spool to lift the beans over the top of the spool. And that way, instead of sort of forcing more beans into a confined space, it's putting it over the top of over the top of the roller where there's no pressure on the bean, and that helps to deliver it basically into the airstream without damaging it. Now, that's sort of only one part of the issue, and I guess one of my reasons for being interested in what's been discussed today and people's experiences is that following on from that, is there other issues with how that travels through the airstream, how it goes down, particularly the boot design and stuff like that, whether people are experiencing issues with the plugging in the boots and whether there's something that worked better in a boot than other styles of boots, for example.
Did anyone have any questions for Doug around reversing the spool?
Yeah, reversing the spool.
Yeah, just to follow up, Doug, Roy here.
Yep.
Doug, just as we talked the other day about the tabs bending out on the tab, I suppose the distributed dividers are all bending out with me, which seems to think that they are repeating or some are repeating.
Mm.
I'd be happy to try and get some beans up to you like we talked about so you can run them through that bench.
Correct, yes. Yeah, so that's the other thing is that part of the process we do when we reverse the spool, basically a device that sort of sits into the metering spool, I guess, and its main purpose is to try and stop the beans getting caught in between the metering spools. And, yeah, what Roy's been experiencing is that device has been deforming and bending outwards and it's no longer doing its job. So we've got to do a bit more testing up here about, you know, why that's, you know, how that's occurring and whether we need to be, I guess, strengthening that or reworking, redesigning it so that actually gives everyone, basically does the job it's been designed to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Doug. Just to finish up, round up this chat, Kurt, did you just want to comment on the seeding rate? Because it does seem to be a bit of varied with what I've heard today, we sort of between 15 and 25. Given some of our farmers are sort of around that, sort of, some are down near Mawala and then some are up near Rand and then Vince is over towards Wagga, what sort of plant rate should people be targeting to get their optimum yield in beans?
You're probably talking to the wrong person. I deal with diseases, not the agronomy
side of things. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I know in the past we've done a hell of a lot of seeding rate work at Wagga. Yeah. Ganga did some nice work here between 5 and 10 years ago. It would be a matter of looking up that word. I'm sorry, Kate. I'm sort of not.
That's okay. Sorry. I think Mark Richards was going to come on, but I don't think he's come on yet. Yeah.
So does the airflow, Kurt, have anything to do or help with the disease as far as the full canopy closure, whether there's big gaps or not? Would that vary with the disease?
I know it definitely does. We know that wider row spacings definitely help. There's been a lot of conjecture about wide row spacings in the past because while you do increase the width between rows, you often increase the plant population within rows, which can often negate those disease, those benefits, I suppose, of trying to increase airflow. But we do know that wider row spacings do tend to delay canopy closure. And if you're trying to get fungicides on, that can be very important. Often benefit getting canopy penetration with fungicide products. So, yeah, I mean, plant population and row spacing can be quite important with regards to that when you're starting to think about fungicide management and getting product down into the crop canopy and getting it down to those potential infections.
Thanks, Kurt.
That was Kate Coffey in discussion with farmers in the Northern Pulse Check group about sowing high rates of beans. This podcast is one in a series produced by GRDC's Northern Pulse Check project. Thanks for listening.